So this is one of the challenges we have as humans. We need to have someone else, someone external, to challenge ourselves. Hi guys, my name is Maciej. I'm the leader of Analytics Experience Competency Team at CNF. And this is the second episode of CNF Talks, a place where experts talk about their challenges, ideas, and experience from the perspective of IT vendor. And next to me sits Łukasz, our data visualization expert and UX designer. Hello, Łukasz.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So, Łukasz, today we would like to cover the topic of, in general, analytical report creation, the cost of analysis, both hidden costs and those visible costs. How we approach it, what is the perspective of our clients, what are the expectations, and how we would like to measure those hidden costs, which I would say no one pays attention to, and this increases the cost of analysis, right? So this is what we would like to cover today. So the reports nowadays are a commodity, right? This is one of the things we are doing. Most commonly.
Yeah, I think people, of course, love Excel, but still we...
And PowerPoint.
But there is a need for more reports. Of course, it's better for analysis. But this is what we are doing currently. And we have like 90% of our cases, there are reports.
What is the perception of the fundamentals of a good report?
If we think about the usability or even
From client perspective, I would say.
Well, perception is that if we have a good data, we have good report. But what before having a good data?
Well, that data quality is the most important thing,
yeah.
Obviously.
Because, and also the trust to the data. Trust of people to the data, yeah.
Users need to trust the data. So the data quality and trust, these are the two fundamental things that create a good report. Mm-hmm. So if we design a beautiful, usable, aesthetic report, mm-hmm. but we have poor data, it just won't work, right? So, and this is an interesting thing. Have you seen, or we've seen, of course, failed report projects, right? But what was the reason for the failure? Do you remember any case?
Mostly technical issues. So like maybe performance, maybe some functionality doesn't work.
Calculation is wrong, right?
Correct.
So these are common requirements. First place, you need to have the data. Second thing, the calculations. Third thing, performance. And
these are technical.
These are
aspects.
Data and technical aspects. Of course, the technology most... Probably we will use the technology that is commonly used with our client, right? So the technology is already chosen at the very beginning. So the assumption is that if the data is good and you have proper results in the report, then it's a success.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good assumption, I would say, of course, because if you have all of this data that are visible, you will.
Mm-hmm.
Analyze it, you will draw conclusions, you will decide upon it.
But what is the cost of analysis then?
Right. We have two types of costs. We have those visible costs, then those visible costs are stated in the SOW. When we start a project, then we have this cost of PM, of developer, of UX designer, or support, whatever. And then we are implementing the report. We are handing this to our client, and it's a success because it works. It loads like for a half a second. Everybody's happy. The data is mm-hmm. there. The result is correct, and it's a success, and it's okay. But then we have those hidden costs.
Or second type of success.
What is the second type of success?
A second type of success, I would say, about what is happening actually at this report. So what is the speed of analysis? What is the cognitive burden of people?
The error rate?
The error rate?
How do you measure that? Did you see if anyone would measure something like that? One of the challenges we see is that we can't measure that. This is one thing. And also, because the project is a success, we handed over a working, performing report, then the clients have little feedback, internal feedback from their users, right? So if they present this report to the users, and this report to the users, then they assume that the users just work with this report. Their teams are working with this report using this data, and so on and so forth.
The question is how they work.
How they are performing with the report. So I would say we have two types of performance. One is the performance of the report itself. And the second type of performance is how our users are performing while working with the report. So the usability of the report. So this is the hidden cost, the speed of analysis, what you said. These are all elements that are impacting those hidden costs, right? This is something that that we see. And we have, so while starting a project, we have different types of approach, right?
Yeah, we have different scenario, let's say. So first scenario, first example, let's say that the clients exactly know what they want to show on the report. They have a list of requirements. They have the clients, they know what they want to show. They have list of requirements. They have even some kind of presentation, PowerPoint presentation. They have
with all ready like mockups, right?
Yeah, so
it's ideal scenario. You just take the mockups and just,
well,
you
from
know,
our perspective, it's not ideal scenario because we have to challenge
we
that.
We should
exactly because how we can be sure that someone put visualization on this PowerPoint slide. And it was because of what? Because of why?
Well, clients know their space. They know their data. They know their business problems. They know, or they assume, that they need something. And this is their assumption because, you know, they are very deep in their context. They know their business. And what I see, and this is also very human because we have the same challenge. If we are designing something, then we are biased. If we would like to test this design, it's a report or a web app or whatever, we need to show it to someone else. Then there is an expression to go outside of the building. So if you are designing something, even if you show something to your colleagues in your team, they are too deep in the context to be not biased, to see, you know, the wider perspective. And this is exactly the same thing with our clients. They are very deep in their context with their data, and they are very well prepared because they have, you know, conducted some workshops internally with their business users. They have put a lot of effort to list those use cases and user, you know, scenarios. And then they even, you know, designed some mockups in PowerPoint presentations. But do they really know that they need that? They say that they need that. And this is very also interesting thing that, you know, people...
Yeah, we should ask them why they need that. What's the reason why they're putting that? So even going in more deeper way, we have some methods for that. So like 5 why method, for example.
A very simple method. So we need to act like as children, right? If we are working with the client, we need to assume that we don't know anything about it, and we just ask very simple questions, those whys. So how does this method work?
This why method comes from Toyota, so the guy who invented Toyota, and it was the question they were he was asking his engineers.
Well, this was a manufacturing process. They were building engines and, you know, vehicles. So he was asking whys.
And then he go more deeper. And then it was like finding a real reason. It was kind of a problem solving. So finding a real need behind it.
So this was the optimization method. Well, UX people didn't invent this 5 whys. So building engines and building cars, usually they, well, engineers, this is exactly the same thing with clients or every people. They know their space. They know how to build engines. They know how to build cars. But if you, well, they did this the same way for years. So challenging themselves is very difficult because they can't really see this wider perspective. So asking those five whys will essentially go deep into the root cause of the problem and finding the best possible or even the simplest solution for the problem, right?
We are using, we as a team, using this method for, also for us, like, you know, being outside of the box. So if I'm designing report, I would ask some, my colleagues, okay, how do you think about this report? Should we add this functionality? And what their perspective on that? And then we are just asking, okay, why?
There was one interesting example. I remember that you've been mentioning when the client came and was very well prepared and they presented a list of...
A list of requirements. It was a list of requirements based on user story. User story, which means like a questions they want to answer. So for example, like, okay, what is my key performance for X? And there was like a list of 100 user stories. And when we challenge that, like, okay, when we ask why they need that, then what turned out that they don't need actually like 20 user stories. And the most important user story they their need was like a line number 60. So asking why, we can go to the deeper and the real need of the digital product. Doesn't matter if it is the report or any other product.
So this is what I would say, this is what the client should expect from the vendor, from designer, from the team that will deliver the product, right? Challenge them because they can't see a different perspective. And this would be this hidden cost of this analysis, because if... Imagine that you would take this list of requirements, and so I would say it's a great scenario. You don't need to know, ask those people about their needs. They already gave you the list of their needs, and it's very good. And you are implementing those needs, and you are designing this data product, and then giving it to them, and they are happy. You gave them a product they expected that, exactly this, and it's a success. And everybody stays happy. But when you look at this from your perspective, you have challenged this, their approach, and they have shifted those priorities, the different data you are showing, the different data on the view. And imagine a situation when they would go with this original product. Still, they would conduct this analysis. They would draw some conclusions from it. They would use it on an everyday basis to, you know, solve problems, achieve their goals. But maybe the time of this analysis would be longer. The quality of the decision might be lower, but it's very difficult to measure that, to quantify the impact. We know that there is an impact and we have examples, but we can't really measure this impact. So this is something that we need to pay attention to and how to do it.
Yeah, so we mostly... this is based on our experience, of course, but we would like to measure it. We would like to have a real number. Okay, what is the cognitive burden of this report? Of what is the cost of analysis, which means what is the time of analysis? So if this is, how many times is higher or lower?
This is about... seeing those problems. So usually our clients are, you know, see a problem when something breaks. This is the technical problem. They can't see the proper data. The report is not loading, or it's loading very long, or something is not working. This is a visible problem. Or someone is, for instance, if the company has implemented the self-service approach, then, you know, people are using a lot of reports in their space and, you know, a centralized entity is measuring the usage of the report. And they see that, okay, some, you know, new introduced report has a very low usage. So the adoption is very, very poor. So there is a problem. Why there is a problem? This is the hidden cost. We need to explore that further.
Or even more general, like how people analyze reports, how people read.
If we know how people read the report, if we know how people are navigating through data, if we state a problem and we observe how they are looking for the solution on the of the problem, we can understand some patterns. We can see what is the effectiveness of one chart versus another, or a set of charts with, you know, or a different information architecture. These are the things we wanted to see, observe, and measure to uncover this hidden cost. So what we did, and this is both for our clients to have this awareness, to know what to look for, and for us to see, to be just better, because we, you know, we have experience with building reports. We do that every day. Like 90% of the things we do is data visualization. We implement best practices. We know how to do it, but we can't really measure the impact. So what we did is we used a consumer method used in retail space most commonly. It's called eye tracking. So what is eye tracker about?
Mm-hmm. Eye tracker measures like your eye and fixation, which means that the point your eye was focusing at, and how the eyes are moving and the points where they are focusing at, which means the fixation. And fixation, we can measure, how, for example, how many fixation we could have on the report when people are asking, when people are answering for the specific question. So where they are looking for this information, how many times they fixate their eyes on specific point of the report. And we measure that. So this is the general idea of the eye tracking. Of course, this is a quantitative method. So we combined it qualitative method, which means the asking some questions about the report then to have the knowledge, because, you know, the user don't always do what they say.
Yes, there is an expression, well, maybe not an expression, but a general rule that what users say, what users do, and what users say they will do, there are
different.
Three different things. And you can't lie to eye tracker. It's subconscious. So we can observe exactly how people react on something that they see. So what was the setup of the research?
Setup was simple. So we had like 15 managers who already work with the BI solutions, with the reports. So they have some knowledge. They know how the reports in general looks like. They know that they have some visualization, they have some filters. And what we wanted to measure, we wanted to measure the difference between the dashboard that is common,
yeah,
and
it was not too ugly, it was, yeah, like a common example,
and we wanted to compare versus redesigned dashboard, which was redesigned based on our experience,
best practices.
So we combined like two different dashboards and we asked some questions about that. So
very simple questions.
Mm-hmm. For example, just find the information. What is the market share at this chart? And that was the simple question. And then we measured the fixations, the time they were answering these questions.
So we have three measures or three factors that we are looking at. So one thing is the time of analysis. So first thing, if we ask the question, we measure the time from asking the question to finding the answer. The second thing is fixation count. So how hard was to find the proper answer? And then we have the time from first fixation to first click. The click means that someone is sure that this is the right answer. So and these were the main three elements. Of course, error rate, because then at the end we could see that if the answer was good or not. And what was the result of the research? And it was for us quite stunning.
The result was that we could have like a up to even 5 times faster data analysis. We could have 2 or 3 times lower cognitive burden, or up to 5, 4, 5, 6 times faster conclusion, or even 3 times lower error risk. These are huge numbers, actually, because when you calculate into like working hours, for example, with the reports,
it makes a huge difference. This is the hidden cost. No one is looking at this hidden cost. No one is measuring that, because, as we said, visible costs are seen in the SOW, in the budget of the implementation project. Then after the people are starting using this project, this report, they spend a lot of time analyzing that. It impacts the quality of the decision. It impacts their stress level, their proactiveness, the quality of the insights. They can, I don't know, the decision-making process, lost opportunities, for instance, because they couldn't see some connections in the data. These are just few of the elements, the hidden elements, the hidden cost of this analysis that we know that are there, but are not measured. So this is the eye tracking research. We wanted to just uncover some of them, pay attention to some of the elements and some of the process steps while designing reports. There is one other part, and by the way, the report itself from the research is available on our webpage, and the link to this report is in the description of this episode. But one other thing we wanted to see, or we know that there is an impact also hidden, and it's even more difficult to uncover, is the impact on the people. This is the human factor. So the people are being stressed. They are working on a very with time pressure. The decisions are being made based on their analysis. They hand over this analysis results to their superiors. They are irritated. They are, this cognitive burden means that they waste a lot of energy while analyzing this report. So these are the hidden costs that we would like to see.
And then if they don't use this report, then we can say that, okay, this project failed because people don't use this report.
This is the adoption, but this is the last element, that something is broken, and we need to find out why it is broken. And it's, again, we are generating more costs. We have rework. Then we will go back to these steps in the process to talk to the users, which rarely happens. This is one of the reasons, because if our clients, and again, this is exactly the same thing for everyone, you know your space, you are quite sure about the data, you did that for 20 years, for instance. So why do you need to, ask someone else? You already know that. But this is, and you have those business goals in mind. The challenge is that you need to combine those business goals with user goals. And there might be some friction. So having the, connection to users, asking them about their objectives, their context, their needs is crucial to build a usable product that will have this proper adoption.
So in general, let your team speak.
Let your team speak.
Challenge the vendor if they are asking why you have these requirements. There are even more practical steps you can apply. So in terms of the design itself, there is a list of tips and tricks. We also put it in our report, so you can download this list. There's like a checklist. There are points you should be focusing at the report. So do the exercise, even for yourself. Look at your current dashboard, current report, and go through the list of this point. So just check if this is the color consistency, if you have the optimized filter taxonomy, if there are lots of filters, do you have alignment? There's a specific
titles are big enough. These are very little things that make the difference? Because of course, if you see that, okay, the type is too little somewhere, you might say, okay, it's not important. It is, and we have measured that in this eye tracking research. If it's too little, or the color is too, I don't know, dim or whatever, people can't really find the information, or they will spend more time trying to find it, and this cognitive burden will increase. So essentially, their performance with the report while analyzing the data will just be decreased.
If we think about cognitive burden, it also is by adding more things. So just asking why do you need this thing on the report, you can remove something. So if you'll be only asking what do I need or what I would like to this show on this report, you're some kind of adding things. So just by adding the why questions, you're going more deeper and you will find the real need, and maybe you will just remove some parts of the report.
Most probably you will remove some parts of the report. And this is, again, very human. It's a Pareto rule, the 20-80 rule. So 20% of the data you see on the report will answer 80% of the questions you have. So it's very common that even if you are buying a new smartphone, you would like to have all of these features and everything there, but you are using only 20% of it. But you would like to have it. But you don't ask yourself, why do you need to have it? Will you use it? Most probably you won't. So this is one of the challenges we have as humans. We need to have someone else, someone external to challenge ourselves. But you also can, and this is a takeaway for you, you can challenge yourself during this process before you start the project. If you have those requirements, those use cases, everything else, you can just ask yourself those five whys. Why do I need that? And then you will most probably shave off some of these requirements, and well, bottom line is you will pay less for the project because there is less things to develop. You will have more usable project. Your users will be more happy to have something that is more usable.
You're talking about emotions, actually. This is another report we are currently building.
Yes, we are building the research is conducted at the moment. So hopefully we will cover this in one of the next episodes. We are working on a emotion tracking research, and we are using a algorithm that is tracking people's expressions while working with data products, because we know that people are getting stressed when they are working with a badly designed product where they can't find the data they are looking for. They are being stressed because they know that someone's strategic decision might depend on their analysis. And this is a very important thing, because at the end, the people can really, though, well, just leave the company. So that's about it in this episode. Thanks very much for being with us. Hopefully we'll see each other in the next episodes. So hit that subscribe button. You can download the report from my tracking research. The link is in the comments, and hopefully see you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks.